Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 from the New King James Version. Let's go. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, as Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, concerning those who have fallen asleep, which means death, those who've died. He says falling asleep because they've gone to heaven. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We grieve differently. Can someone say amen? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's go. Father, thank you. For your word, it's a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. And as we look into these now seven signs of your soon and imminent return, I pray that it would bring comfort. I pray that this message would be far-reaching even to eternity. Touch all those online, those potentially around the world. May we be forever changed and impacted because your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is living and active. Your word releases faith. Your word releases comfort. Your word sanctifies. Your word is like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces. So release your strength. Release your hammer. Release the sword this morning. And each and every one of us would be deeply impacted and comforted by this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is coming soon. Come on, turn to someone and say, Jesus is coming soon. Church, I want you to hear me this morning. I want you to know that we stand on the razor's edge, the completion of time, where God is about to wrap up all of history. And in actual fact, there's very little that still needs to be accomplished to fulfill the mandate that Jesus gave us himself in the word that would hold him back from returning. So literally, he could come back right now. He could return right now. The catching away, or what we call the rapture, could take place. It's crucial to preach these sermons on the end times for a number of reasons. One, it comforts you. The scriptures tell us to comfort each other with these things. But it's also crucial in that I will stand before the court of heaven of how I've pastored you. And I'm all for leadership lessons and teaching and the outpouring of the Spirit and all the entire canon of Scripture. It's very, very important to preach on the imminent return of Christ. It's very, very important to preach on what's called eschatology. It's the study of the end things. And having spent much time preparing, it is my deep and sincere prayer that these truths that I share with you will aid you in your growth as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Seven signs of Jesus' soon return. The first sign of Christ's return to the earth, what's called by my dear friend Tiff Shuttlesworth, is called the super sign of the end times. Everybody say that. It's the super sign of the end times. Well, what is the super sign of the end times? The supernatural and amazing rebirth of the nation of Israel. That is one of the, it is the most miraculous thing that has happened next to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It is prophesied in various places, Isaiah 66 and verse 8. Who've heard such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? A nation, is there a nation that's born in the day? Isaiah 66, Ezekiel 37, dry bones of Ezekiel come together talking about a nation, an exceedingly vast army. Ezekiel 36 and 24, that God gathers Israel from all the nations. All of those scriptures made like no sense for the church early on. When I mean early on, I mean prior to 1948 for many. When you were reading 1 Thessalonians, the letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica, clearly they were waiting for his imminent and soon return. And they believed in the catching away, parousia, which is the word that we use for rapture. Somebody said, I don't believe in the rapture. It's not even in scripture. Okay. It is in scripture. The word rapture is not in scripture, but rapture is in scripture, the catching away. And there's many types and shadows of the rapture as well. When you look at the scriptures prior to May 14th, 1948, it is overwhelming. May 15th, 1948, it is overwhelming because the scriptures almost don't make any sense. Romans 9, 10, 11, talking about Israel. And so what was birthed out of that was what's called replacement theology. David Ben-Gurion in Tel Aviv on May 15th, 1948, which is declared in newspapers, and I have some newspapers that were from around the world, Zionists proclaim new state in Israel. Truman recognizes it and hopes for peace. Tel Aviv is bombed. Yet the second they became, second they declared a nation again, they got bombed from all their neighbors. And the Palestinian Post, next slide. The state of Israel is born. You have to know that if you were a Christian at this time and you saw these newspapers, if you were a scholar and you understood, and you saw that, it was absolutely mind-blowing. Today, we look and be like, oh yeah, no, Israel was born. It was after the Holocaust and the UN, and yeah, they just kind of came together. It is absolutely a miraculous thing that took place. And it is the super sign of the end of the age. I read through David Ben-Gurion, his statement. I just like this one section right here. We declare that with the effect from the moment of the termination of the mandate being tonight, that's the British mandate, on the eve of the Sabbath, of the sixth year of AR 5708, the 15th of May, 1948, and until the establishment of the elected regular authorities of the state in accordance with the Constitution, which shall be adopted and elected by a constituent assembly no later than October 1st, 1948, the People's Council shall act as a provincial state council, the provisional government of the Jewish state shall be called Israel. And I will tell you that Christians that understood and knew their word when that happened were just absolutely blown away. My great-grandfather understood what was happening. And I mean, you didn't just take planes, it was hard, much harder to travel. My great-grandfather went to Israel, was in the room when it was read. He was a pastor and a worship leader, and he was in Israel while it was read. I'm so blessed by that. The greatest miracle of our generation, that Israel was reborn after 2,000 years, and most church people have no clue about that. It is a super sign. The rebirth of Israel was death to replacement theology. The rebirth of Israel was death to replacement theology. What do you mean by that? Replacement theology prior to May 15th, 1948, is that there was no Israel because they're just totally wiped out. And so then people looked and said, well, shoot, I guess it's just a church then that gets all the promises of Israel since there is no Israel. The day that Israel was reborn, replacement theology died. And yet some people, some pastors, maybe even listening now, still preach it. The church did not take the place of Israel. Although the promises to Israel also apply, many of them, to us as a church. The church is not Israel. As long as there was no organized Jewish people, then it seemed like the church took its place. But when the rebirth, when the valley of dry bones came together, when in a day a nation was born, Isaiah 66, that changed everything. Did you know that Israel is one of the wealthiest nations in the world? It's become that way. Did you know that Israel has a military force that's second to none technologically? Did you know that Israel is helping America with technology that we don't have? Why is that? It all comes from Genesis, and the blessing of God would be put upon the people. Because God said a promise to Abraham, Genesis 12, and you shall all the families, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We're blessed right now because of Israel. Listen, every person that wrote anything in this book was a Jew. Does that flip over your theological boat? Let it flip it over. Jesus was a Jew, all his earlier followers were a Jew, and everyone that wrote anything in this book was a Jew, and of course they became believers in the New Testament. They believed on the Messiah. You missed a great place to say amen. It's interesting in study of history, and there is some argument over this, but the dates are true. On the 9th of Av, haven't you know what the 9th of Av is? Just some history here. The 9th of Av is the most tragic day in Israel's history and is commemorated by fasting and mourning. The 9th of Av is when the tablets were broken, were said to be broken, when Moses came down and saw them carousing and rejecting the Lord, the golden calf, and that whole incident. He threw the tablets out. It's said to be the 9th of Av. Also, it's said to be the 9th of Av when the spies came back and they brought a bad report. They sent out 12 spies and 10 came back with a bad report of the promised land and 2 came back with a good report. That is the 9th of Av when they didn't go into the promised land. The first temple was destroyed on guess what day? The 9th of Av. The second temple was destroyed on guess what day? The 9th of Av. The Warsaw ghettos in World War II, the Jews were shipped off to that Warsaw ghetto. Guess when? The 9th of Av. In Spain, King Ferdinand and Isabella pushed by the Catholic Church. Did you know that the church is the number one purveyor of anti-Semitism? Did you know that? Thanks to Martin Luther. You guys okay? Lift your hands to Jesus and say, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming soon. Martin Luther, responsible for the great Reformation and his theses that he wrote and nailed on Wartburg's door. Justification by faith and the great Reformation and breaking away from the Catholic Church. But he also wrote a book called The Jews and Their Little Lies. And it was used by the enemy. I mean, it was such great revelation, yet used by the enemy to bring a tremendous hatred for Jewish people. It did more damage with that book. In Spain, on the 9th of Av, Spain expelled all the Jews on August 2nd, 1492, the 9th of Av, also called Tishba Av. Do you think that's by accident? I don't know if they knew what they were doing, but it is the most horrible time, that day, that specific day, not like the day before, the day after, that day. So 1492, they expelled all the Jews. Does anybody know, raise your hand if you know what happened on August 3rd, the day after? He sailed the ocean blue in. Columbus left. He is said by many to be a Jew. And some of the evidence of that is the way that he signed things in different Jewish symbols and so on and so forth. He left August 3rd to go find a place for the Jews. That is what some people say. It is interesting that he left the day after. Israel is the only nation in the world created by God Almighty with an unconditional covenant, an unconditional one. What do you mean unconditional? I mean, Israel doesn't have to do anything. God will do it. Now, there's most covenants are conditional. Most of them. Prophecies, most prophecies are conditional. Raise your hand if you know of an unconditional prophecy. Jesus is coming back. That's an unconditional promise. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, he's returning. Come on, somebody say, Jesus is coming soon. Israel is the only nation in the world created by God Almighty with unconditional covenant to the land of Israel. So it's a biblical fact that God blesses his people, Israel, and he blesses the nations through Israel. So God created Israel by an unconditional covenant, gave them land forever, and blessed the world through them. If you don't like that, you might have something bent in your understanding. Recently, I had somebody call. We had flags of Israel out front, which I've taken down since then, but not because of their comment. Because of their comment, I left them up for a couple more weeks. They called me and said, I'm going to bring the Palestinian flag. Are you going to put the Palestinian flag up? I said, absolutely, positively, emphatically, no. Then they said, I think you're an old, bigoted man. And then I said, well, you sound like a young girl who's uneducated. And then I had to repent. I said, oh, that wasn't nice. Lord, forgive me. We argued a little bit. I told her to do her homework. And I hope that she comes. I invited her to church. The Hebrew language was extinct, basically, for 2,000 years. And then it was rebirthed. You go to Israel now, people speak Hebrew. They speak other languages as well. And then there is what's going returning from over 100 nations, what is called Aliyah. Jews flying in from all over to return to Israel. It is a super sign of the end, a super sign that Jesus is coming back. The second sign of his soon return is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this, it's the second sign that scoffers will arise in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So the fact that there's podcasters and YouTubers mocking the rapture, the fact that there's all kinds of people in universities mocking the fact that Jesus is coming soon, and I've had people laugh at me and say, seriously, seriously? You really think he's coming? Listen to me, little scoffer boy. The fact that you're scoffing actually means he's on the way. That's what that says. Mockers and scoffers are an evidence of the fact that he's coming. Come on, lift your hand to heaven and say, he's coming soon. Come on, say, Jesus is coming. I can't hear you in this church. Jesus is coming. Yes, he is. And so the fact that you have people that mock you and scoff you, listen, it's not about the amount of likers that you have. University religious departments denying Christ's return. Internet atheism exploding all over the place. Now, in the text we read, 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You know why he shouts? Because he's a victor, that's why. What a shout that'll be. Anybody ever play sports? When you win, or maybe when you win as in an argument against your spouse, you're like, yes! It's not a good policy. But when you win that sporting event, how many of you ever just jump around and shout when they drain that three-pointer, a buzzer beater, basketball, and they're just everybody's shouting. That's why he shouts. He's shouting because he's defeated hell, death, and the grave, and the time for his return and your rapture, your catching away is upon him. So he's like, hey! The voice of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet. I believe that the trumpet is almost to his lips right now. I don't know who's going to blow the trumpet, but there's a trumpet blast. There's a catching away at the twinkling of an eye. And there's people that laugh at us because of it. But the scriptures tell us that we should teach it. The scriptures tell us that we should proclaim it. The scriptures tell us that we should encourage ourselves with these things. Can you say amen? Amen. It's not a myth. It's not a metaphor. It's coming. You say, well, Pastor Bracken, what's the big deal about that? I mean, why do I have to believe in that? I mean, I just believe that Jesus died on a cross and he rose again from the grave. Well, I'm glad you do. And if you haven't made a decision to give your life to him, if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus, then your sins remain, but they don't have to. You can be forgiven today. You can receive Jesus today. You can be born again today. You said, isn't that enough? It absolutely is enough to make it to heaven. But that's, the scriptures go on to say that it is important to believe in the rapture, to believe in the catching away. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. To those who eagerly await for him. Let me try it again. That's Hebrews 9, verse 28. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Well, here's the point. If you don't eagerly await him, you might not go. And instead of come up with a theological argument, say, no, I'm going to go, I'm born again. How about eagerly, are you eagerly awaiting for him? Are you looking? Are you watching? Are you waiting? When he comes, will you go? When that trumpet blast comes, will you go? I hope to. Some of you right now won't pass the ceiling. Luke in 21 and verse 36, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass. What does that mean? It means the Antichrist is coming. And I believe the rapture is going to be prior to the tribulation. So are you sure of that? No, I'm not. I hope that's the case. Why? Because I don't want to go through any tribulation. If you were a Jew on October 7th, you might have thought that was a tribulation. Unspeakable horrors. Not on the news. I went there. I went 150 days after that, and I have a hard time talking about it. It is not in the news because they can't show you in the news what those demonized animals did to those people. Horrible. Burning their bodies. And raping them afterwards. Unthinkable atrocities took place. You cannot imagine what the tribulation will be like. The Great Tribulation. And the Antichrist wants to kill every single person. You cannot imagine. You don't want to be here. So what if we are? What if it's mid-trib or post-trib? Love God with all your heart. He'll bring you through. Somebody said, oh, I'm pan-trib. What is pan? I don't know about that. There's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-tribulation, rapture. What is pan? That means you're believing for it to all pan out. The third sign. So let me just say again, there's going to be a living hell in the earth. God is going to catch us away before that. I believe that. I'm a pre-trib believer, pre-tribulation. The third sign is found in Ezekiel 38. Third sign of Jesus' return is found in Ezekiel 38. So it'll be on the screen now, Ezekiel 38, 15 to 16. Then you will come from your place out of the far north. The what? The far north. You and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company with a great army. You will come up against my people like a cloud and cover the land. In the latter days. Everybody say in the latter days. Yeah, these are the latter days. We're in them. The third sign of his return, the king of the far north, comes and marches upon Israel. All scholars agree that it is Russia. king of the far north. All directions, when you look in scripture, are taken from Israel. So far north is from Israel, from Jerusalem. So far north, the furthest north you can go is Russia. Gog and Magog. Gog is a man. Magog is a land. Gog and Magog. And it's an Ezekiel 38 coalition that marches on Israel. Ezekiel prophesied that. The prophet Daniel identifies the ruler who would lead the attack against Israel in Daniel chapter 11, verse 15 to 35. You can go and read that. According to Ezekiel in this text, Ezekiel 38 and following, according to Ezekiel, Russia leads this nation. Persia, which is now Russia, was Persia 100 years ago. It's now Russia, Turkey, Sudan. Several Islamic nations are going to invade Israel. We thought this was actually happening just a few months ago. I said to you all, if Russia turns south and they march, why would they want to do that? Anybody want to know why? How many want to know why? Well, it says in scripture, I'll put a hook in your mouth and I will bring you down to Israel. Why would Russia want to march on Israel? It's really one of the reasons scholars believe, many military strategists and scholars believe, and I've read all kinds of articles over these past 24 hours. I mean, we'll find out, but there's a little bit of ambiguity here. We don't know. But the Lord's going to put a hook in Gog and pull him down. That is clearly Russia, all scholars say. Why would Russia march on Israel? Well, the same reason military strategists say they marched on Crimea. They need a warm water port. To be a ruling, leading, worldwide superpower, they have no port for certain months in the winter because they all freeze. So one reason is that they would have a warm water port. It's interesting. I don't know. Another reason is that they have found a treasure trove of oil in Israel. So such a big trove of oil that it said it would last Israel for 100 years. Could be that they want the oil. I don't know. But that coalition seems to be forming at times. Does anybody know what I'm talking about if you're paying attention to the news? The fourth sign of Jesus' return is the gospel of the kingdom is preached around the world. Where is it preached? Around the world. Matthew 24. It's really this incredible masterpiece or master class of prophecy. Jesus talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. We were just standing there. He said, if you get a chance to go with us to Israel, and it's very possible we'll be doing a trip 1 year from now. We thought we would do it every other year, but I think it's so powerful and so life-changing that many others need to go. And if you had not had the opportunity to do that, I'd encourage you to do it. You can save your money or invest and believe God and go, and it is life-changing. We stood on the Mount of Olives. We stood in the Garden of Gethsemane. We stood in the tomb. And to quote my beloved friend Scott, who came out of the tomb, Scott Choir comes out of the tomb and says something like, as he comes out, "He's not there!" He was so blessed and so touched. I was crying watching you all come out. I got the opportunity to go in first. And as our crew was coming out one after another, the shock and awe on their face of the fact that Jesus is rose again from the grave. He not only rose again, he's coming back. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, say Jesus is coming soon. The fourth sign of Jesus' return is the gospel of the kingdom is preached around the world. You say, what? Yeah, there's a number of things in Matthew 24 worthy of a whole series, but I'm just going to touch on it. Tell us when these things should be, the disciples say. And the second thing they ask him is, what is the sign of your coming? What is the sign of the end of the age? He says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and the end will come. It's this prophetic masterclass that he gives. It's the clearest, most comprehensive roadmap of when the end is coming. And we are walking it out today. It's happening literally at any moment. At any moment, he could split the eastern sky. At any moment, he could call us home. Will you be there? Are you born again? Or do you have compromise in your life? Come on, somebody say Jesus is coming soon. This is not some stupid religious game we're playing on a Sunday morning. It is the most powerful revelation we need to have. Jesus Christ was crucified for your sin and mine. He rose again on the third day. And when he ascended, 500 people saw him. And he said he's coming back in the same way that he came, as he arose, is how he's coming back. He's coming back. There's really 15 signs. I'm just giving you 7. It is amazing how the gospel is spreading throughout all the world. Throughout all the world. People are getting saved at a profound rate. Muslims are having visitations of Jesus. I mean, why would you listen to CNN or any other news agency to say that Christianity is shrinking and disappearing? It is absolutely positively emphatic. It never has. It never will. God is on the move in our generation. In America alone, there's 33 million more people serving God, calling on his name from 2021 to 2024. There is 66 million people in America declare Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. There are outpourings taking place all over the earth on campuses. God is touching people, healing people. He's setting people free. This is our greatest hour. It's our greatest hour, for the Lord is soon to return. The fifth sign of the Lord's coming is an explosion of knowledge. Artificial intelligence now allows anyone to reach in a global library of human knowledge in seconds, releasing PhD level information in seconds from your phone. You got to be careful, because many times they're wrong. What they've found, those who are driving AI are amazed. The ChatGPT and different ones, they're amazed that people are willing just to get an answer, even if the answer is wrong. I use chat. I do. And it's wrong. It's wrong frequently. And I call it out. I'm like, you're incorrect. And then it answers, oh, you're absolutely right. Knowledge is growing at an unprecedented rate. It's increasing. From the Garden of Eden really to the 19th century, not a whole lot changed until the automobile. I mean, they're still riding horses. There's little micro changes, but then the automobile, which is really a fulfillment of Nahum chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let me read verse 4. The chariots rage in the streets. This is the prophet Nahum. The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. Many believe that, come on, if you were a prophet back in the Old Testament and you had a vision of cars, I mean, how would you define that? A car going 80 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour with lights on would look like lightning. Kind of amazing. Airplanes. Gosh, we were on so many airplanes, for the love of God. I mean, just look at the little airplane, you know, map. You see where you're flying from, and you're flying 580 miles an hour. That's incredible. The growth of knowledge now is absolutely incredible, and it's just getting exponential. It just keeps growing. That's the fulfillment of Daniel. The sixth sign is nuclear warfare, Zechariah 14. And this shall be the plague, verse 12, with which the Lord shall strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets. Woo. And their tongue shall dissolve in their mouths. Nuclear weapons are capable of 150 million degrees. I mean, that's amazing. The The sixth sign of the Lord's return is the fact that there's nuclear warfare. When he wrote that, there was no such thing. Now, we're guessing on this nuclear warfare. How many of you know he could just bring some God power and that would do that? I mean, he created the earth, mankind, light. He created everything. It doesn't have to be nuclear warfare, but it is interesting. It's possible. It's possible. The threat of nuclear Iran. Thank God for Midnight Hammer. Thank God. I think that people want to destroy the world shouldn't have nuclear weapons. Maybe nobody should have nuclear weapons. It's just horrible. But the truth is North Korea has it, and a lot of people have nuclear weapons. And if this whole thing goes off, it could be very well Zechariah 14:12. We don't know. But it is interesting. The seventh sign, the Lord's coming, is what the Bible calls the King of the East. In Revelation chapter 16, 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl in the great river Euphrates and its water dried up. Did you know that the Euphrates is drying up? Did you know that the Euphrates is drying up? I mean, it's like a sign and a wonder. Everything that we see in Scripture is coming to pass, from the super sign of the rebirth of Israel onto these other things that I've now mentioned. We are closer than when we first believed. He's coming back. He's coming back. Lift your hands to heaven and say, Jesus is coming soon. Let that comfort you. But we're not ones that'll wave a flag and surrender. Oh God. No, we go out with victory. We go out in authority and power and anointing. Jesus is coming soon. The scripture doesn't name China directly, but it is the kings from the east. Now, it would definitely include China, and there's another scripture about a 200 million man army. China has that. The insanity of previous administration allowing a spy balloon to go all the way across America. Do you know they know from that they know where all of our silos are? That's what military specialists say now. They know where all our silos are. They know where our nuclear power is. And some say that if we came up in a war against China, that we would be destroyed. I don't know that that's the case. I just pray against it, even now in Jesus' name. China is not a favor of America. They want to become a superpower, and they're in Scripture. Some say, how come the United States is not in Scripture? It could be. That there's such a great revival that most of America's raptured on out of here. I mean, you think about how many believers there are. Our nation's changing. They don't even say God now, they say Jesus Christ at the federal government level. Let me whip through some of these real quick for all of you note takers. Here's the eighth sign. I'm gonna give you 15, but I'm not gonna preach on it. I'm done. Global moral collapse, 2 Timothy 3. The ninth sign, worldwide apostasy. 2 Thessalonians 2, there's this day of great falling away comes. Churches abandoning biblical teaching. That's happening now. Endorsing gender confusion. You can select your gender. You can select your gender. And there's all kinds of apostate doctrines of demons, pastors denying the resurrection, denying hell, denying repentance, denying the return of Christ, entire denominations rejecting Scripture, endorsing homosexuals in the pulpit and out of the pulpit, Christians adopting all kinds of secular worldviews. 10th one, false Christs and false prophets arise, Matthew 24. The 11th, it's distress and fear among the nations. Oh, there's plenty of that. Global anxiety, wars, rumors of wars, economic collapse, fear. It's 12th one, birth pains in nature, famine, pestilence, earthquake. We have that, COVID-19. And I'm just gonna tell you, it's not the last pandemic. There's all kinds of things that are happening, record-breaking famines and droughts and fires and hurricanes, earthquakes. Y'all feel that 6.0? God's on the throne. Come on, say it. God's on the preparations for the third temple. Oh my gosh, I could take some time right here. Temple Institute is fully prepared. The Temple Institute in Israel is fully prepared to build the third temple. They have the golden menorah. They have the articles. They've already made them. And just recently, they found the red heifer. Some Christian in Texas, they gave, the Christian gave birth to red heifers. That doesn't sound right. But it was, he had a ranch, and they had red heifers that were born. And there's a prescribed way of what defines a red heifer. They were examined by rabbis and sent over to Israel. And it was funny because they couldn't receive them in the way that they were, so they received red heifers as pets. That's what they had to put on the document, pets. Well, they slaughtered one of the pets because the ashes of the red heifer is key to the restoration of the third temple worship, which has to take place in order for the Antichrist to stand there and declare that he's God. But they're ready. They're ready. Everything's ready. Oh, my goodness. The fourth sign, one world government, Romans 13. The 15th sign, and I'm sure there's others, but these are ones that I came up with, is the last day's outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is coming again. Yes, he is. There's a great catching away. Let me ask you, declare to you first, that no, at no other time in history before now have all of these 15 signs converged. This is a time like no other in human history. And it's so easy to be asleep in the arms of the enemy, be distracted by all the reels and all the posts and all the news brings so much bad news. I have good news. Good news is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Encourage one another. I've got good news. Those of your loved ones who died in Christ, their body's asleep, but come on, there's a resurrection coming. Come on, they're in heaven. They're in the leaning over the banister of glory, cheering us on. This is the greatest days to be alive. The prophets saw it afar off, but you and I are living in it. We are living in the greatest time in human history, and so many people are asleep, and they don't know it. They don't understand the hour that we're living. Jesus is coming again for his bride, for his church, for you. Come on, for me. Stand up on your feet.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.